Christian would not want a place. When I see Amanda sitting over here, got saved last Sunday night, there's something wrong with somebody against that.
That's right.
Something wrong. Something ain't right somewhere. All right. I announced to you this morning that I was going to be bringing a very special message tonight. I'm going to do it right now to the Lord's will. He'll help me. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter number 15. Make sure that thing. And what? Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to read some scripture here tonight. I'm going to ask you to give me your undivided attention for just a few minutes. There are sermons, and then there are messages. This is a message. And it's not a sermon tonight, it's a message. So I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read a story about a young man who had gone out, wasted his life. He lived the life of sin, partied it up. Nowadays, you'd say he was partying. Drugs, alcohol, that lifestyle, whatever. He had really blew it. And then he realizes what he'd done, and he comes back and he gets right with his Father. That's an illustration of our Heavenly Father tonight and how He cares about us. So I'm preaching to you tonight on failure is not final with the Father. I can't even think about it. Look at Luke chapter 15 and verse number 14. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I'm glad he still knew that he had a father.
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't have to say, that man used to be my father, but he ain't my father no more. He said, I know where my father's at,
right,
and I'm going to go to him.
Amen.
And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Mm. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. What did the father do, folks? Look at verse 20. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Thank God for this wonderful, wonderful story in the Word of God that tells us that failure is not final with the Father.
Amen.
Folks, I'm going to talk very plain to you tonight, and I want you to listen. This will help you. This will help a lot of you in here tonight if you'll listen to what I've got to say. And if you don't need this tonight, the day is going to come in your life when you will need it for yourself or someone you know or love. When a person fails, it's an awful thing. When a person falls, it's a terrible, tragic thing. When a young man goes out like this and goes out and makes mistakes in his life and blows it, it's an awful, awful thing. We see people doing it every day. There's people in here that's made plenty, your share of mistakes. And I have too, many, many, many times. I'm so thankful tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Failure is not final with the Father.
Amen.
I'm glad that God don't look at us and say, okay, now you've made a mistake. I ain't fooling with you no more. Ain't you glad of that?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, is that worth coming to church to hear tonight that God's not through with you, even though you've made a lot of mistakes, even though you've flat out sinned against Him, even though you blew it, I mean, time and time again, that God don't just write you off, that God don't just say, okay, your life's not up to par, so I'm not messing with you. I'm only going to mess with people who have never done what you've done. Ain't you glad of that tonight? I'm so thankful to God tonight that failure is not final with the Father. Now, before I tell this story of this man here tonight, let me give you several scriptures as concerning me, a person like me. I know all things work together for good to give and love God. I know I've made many mistakes in my life. I make no bones about it. I make no excuse for it. I'm a human being, and I failed the Father. But thank God tonight, failure's not final when you're dealing with our Father. It might be with the brethren. It might be with the sistren. It might be with a fellow across town or with somebody down the road, but it's not with the Father. If it was, it would none of us be able to talk to God tonight. If it was, none of us be able to get a prayer through to God tonight. Thank God it's not final. The Bible said a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again.
Yep.
I know that a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the word of God. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad God fixed it so you can get back in the battle. I'm glad God fixed it so you can relive. I'm glad that the song said over and over, He molds me and makes me. I'm glad for that song. It said He did not throw the clay away. Glory to God.
Amen.
I've been saved a long time, and I've hit rock bottom and had to look up to see the bottom a few times. But I'm glad in the midst of the darkness and in the midst of the trials and the troubles and the tribulation that standing somewhere in the shadows,
yeah,
and many a voice out of the dark would whisper and say, it's all right, son. Just get up, because failure is not final with the Father. Some of you here tonight beat down. Some of you beat down. Some of you used to serve God. You used to shout. You used to serve Him. And the devil that because you failed, that you're not worthy to shout no more. That's what that boy said. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. I thank God the Father looked back at him, and he said, I know you're not worthy, but you're my son anyway.
Right.
They said, God, you never have been worthy. You ain't worthy now, and you won't never be worthy. But yeah, I thank God tonight that we're his children by grace through faith.
Yeah.
And me and you not just as much by to shout and praise God as anybody in the world. Children.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Don't you let some of this religious crowd look down their nose at you and say, well, because you've done this and because you've done that, you're no longer worthy to serve God. That fellow wasn't worthy either. You know what his father done? He found him. He hugged him. Amen. He kissed him. He put the best clothes on him. Amen. All the way through the Bible. I'll tell you about a man named Samson. Everybody knows Samson's strongest man in the world, right? Lord have mercy. I said one time, said, I'm stronger than anybody. I said, smell that and everything. But I'll tell you one thing, Samson was strength. He had strength. That Samson, he picked up, they tried to lock him up. He picked up the bars and gates, walked off of the town gate, brother. He didn't mess with them. He took a jawbone of an ass and killed, I don't know how many people. Beat the fire out of a man with a jawbone. I mean, that boy was strong. He was God's man. He was God's man. But Samson failed. And God told him never to tell a secret of his strength. And one day Samson got a haircut in the wrong barbershop.
Yep.
So he laid his head in the lap of Delilah. And I can see him now. As he lay there. And she said, Sammy, do you love me? And he said, you know I love you. Why do you ask that all the time? I told you when we got married. And she said, but I want to hear it at least five times a day. He said, if I ever quit, I'll tell you. And she said, you know how I do. And she said, do you really love me? And he said, of course I love you. She said, how are you so strong? And he said, I can't tell you that. She said, you don't love me. You know how a woman is, don't you? You don't love me, or you tell me. Yes, I do love you.
you. Will you please quit trying to put a guilt trip on me? She said, well, if you love me, you'd tell me how come you're so strong. He said, look, lady, God told me not to do that. I can't tell you how come I'm so strong. She said, but if you love me, you would. And Samson said, all right, I'll tell you what. If you, and that's where he started messing up right there. He should have told her right then. He said, I ain't going to discuss it with you. I'm not going to let you have my strip. I know the Bible said don't give you strip from the women. And I'm not going to do it. And Brother old Samson went down and he said, I'll tell you, you take some of these little vines right here and wrap me up in them, and I'll be weak like any other man. Well, she said, ain't you sleepy? And so she got him asleep. And while she was asleep, she whispered, come on in, boys, let's get him. So they wrapped him up in them little whips. Bible said them green whips, whatever that is. And like a little vine, I reckon. Wrapped him up in that. And then she backed off and she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. Here come the Philistines. I mean, they have guns and arrest warrants and everything else. And boy, they said, we got you now, big boy. And he looked up and went like this and knocked more down than Benny Hinn can. And brother, he knocked that crowd on the floor. And they laid all four of them down on the floor like that. And Samson said, let me tell you something, get out of here. And she said, Samson, you lied to me. And he said, well, you ain't supposed to know that. She said, how come you're so strong? You know, oh no, they did it with the ropes. It didn't work. They did it a couple times there. And finally she wore him down. And wore him down. And I'm gone and on and on. Man. All you married men in here, you know how to go to say. You're scared to say amen. I know you are. Yeah, I mean, they will ever make a fire out of you. Why? How come you're so strong? 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 He said, you shut up, I'll tell you. Why are you so strong? Why are you so strong? He said, oh, look, woman, I'm going to tell you. He said, I ain't never had a haircut in my life. And he said, God told me not to get my hair cut. And he said, if I do, I'll be weak like any other man. He got the truth this time. Are you happy? And she said, yes. And don't you sleepy, honey. You lay down here and go to sleep. And boy, as soon as he went to sleep, she started cutting that stuff off. And there went Samson's strength. Then she come in and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And when he did that, brother, you know what she done? She tore that thing up, brother. And she woke him up. He jumped up and he come out and he started to fight. And he did not realize that his strength was gone. He knew the Lord had departed as far as his great power from Samson. He got weak. He fell. He fell. One of the greatest men in the Bible, he fell. And old Samson, they took him down there and they put his eyes out so he couldn't see. And when they did that, you know what he did? When they put his eyes out, brother, he had to grind at the mill. He paid for his sin dearly. He was down there grinding. Somebody preached it like this one night, Brother Rick. They said, first sin blinds, then sin binds, and then sin grinds. And old Samson was grinding out the mill down there like an ox. And he's grinding, he's grinding. Was God through with him? Didn't God just say, hey, I ain't never fooling old Samson no more? He blowed it. He gave his strength to that woman. He lost it. I'm never going to bless him again. I'm going to tell you what the book said. What the book said over there in the book of Judges. Let me tell you something tonight, and you tell all your friends that the Word of God said yeah. This. The Bible said that he stayed there a while, and the hair of his head began to grow again. We see it all the way through the Word of God. I mean, you can talk about all them men. Solomon. Let his wives turn his heart after other gods. Solomon, wisest man that's ever lived. I always wondered about that. He had 700 wives. And he's smart. He must have done that after they said that about him. Can you imagine 700 birthdays to remember? And they claw your eyes out if you forget it. That's two a day. Two a day. Two wives' birthday a day. Man, that's 700 wives. I can't believe he's the smartest man that ever lived. say the dynasty, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But on Solomon, 300 concubines. And that old boy, Lord have mercy. He let his wife turn his heart after other gods. He failed. No doubt about it. But failure's never final with the Father. When a man gets right, when a man does business with God, when a man comes back to God, when a man comes clean with God, you know what God does? God justifies you.
That's right.
When you don't know, I can look around here and see people now that's failed. I look at somebody pulling here and now, you make some bad mistakes. I can see them. Poor Jack, I can tell you what your problem is and has been. I've got good news for you tonight. If you confessed it, if you could put it under the blood, you are justified. The word justified means just if I'd never sinned to start with. It ain't that you're guilty and then forgiven. God looks at you like you never did do nothing wrong when the blood of Jesus is put over you. I'm not minimizing sin. I'm maximizing the power of the blood.
That's right. Yeah.
And told me, he said, well, God will forgive you, but he'll do this now. I said, wait a minute, buddy, that's an insult to the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's true.
That Bible's true. The blood washes sins away, and God don't ever see them, and God don't ever remember them.
Yep.
Your kin folks might, your neighbors might, but God don't.
That's right.
Don't let them shout hallelujah tonight and say, my sins are gone. Hallelujah, glory to God. It don't matter. Some of you should be down here tonight. You're so beat down. You think God can't bless you because of what you did 6 months ago, or because you made a mistake 10 years ago, or married the wrong person, or got divorced. Let me tell you something. If you'll come clean, if you'll get right with God, he'll bless you. It's not final with God.
Amen.
Your job is to get right. He'll start you all over again.
Amen.
David, we all know the story of David. Had a man killed, murdered, stole a man's wife, adultery, and lied about it, broke 3 commandments, everything like that. And tried to hide it. And I mean, he failed big time. And he paid big time. Now tonight, I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, Brother Danny, you mean you just go out and sin? No, I ain't saying that. Hmm. If you go out and sin, you're going to pay through the nose.
Amen.
But it don't have to be final. God can forgive you, and God can give you a new start. And one of the things that you're going to hear stressed at this church, we're living in a day, people, when people messed up all over Burke County, all over the surrounding counties. I mean, some of you've been through it right here tonight, and you no longer feel worthy to stand up and sing. You no longer feel worthy to stand up and give a testimony. And you're going to hear it, and hear it, and hear it if you confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you just get that through your head, it'll make you shout tonight that your failure is not final.
Amen.
With the glory of God, I'm glad he don't hold it against us.
Amen.
David got right over the casket of a dead baby, but he got right.
Mm-hmm.
You say, what did God do? Did God kick David off the throne? He stayed on the throne till his death. And run the nation of Israel. The sword never departed from his house. He had wars. He had problems. But his failure wasn't final. With our Father.
Amen.
We see it all the way through the Bible. Thomas Edison. Some of you heard me give this illustration before. Now hurry. Tried 700 times to invent light bulb. Everybody said, boy, what a genius. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Man, he must have been smart. I don't know if he's that smart or not. I believe I could have done it 700 tries. If I devoted my whole life trying to figure out, I bet you I'd figure it out in 700. I might get it 500. Can you imagine? Now just think about this for a second. Here's Thomas Edison down in the basement working. There's never been a light bulb ever in history. People use candles. People use lanterns. He's down there working, hooking up wires, hooking up things. His wife turned around and she said, Thomas, what are you doing? He said, honey, I'm going to invent something the world's never seen. I'm going to make light come out here using electricity. She said, nobody's ever done it before. He said, don't matter. I'm going to do it. Now watch, honey, come down here. I want you to take a picture of it. Get the video camera out. We're going to watch this. It's going to happen right here. It's never happened before. Never happened. Watch this. And he hooks it up. And nothing happens. That's one. 699 more times. Someone said, looks like old Danny just give up. I got a long way. preacher.
That's right.
Amen. You can try 700 times to live for God. You can try. You, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. You can get up here next Sunday morning and sing a special, and the glory of God be all over you if you just realize failure is not fine. He works and works and works and works. He said, I know what I've done wrong that time. I had this one wrong. I'll hit this one up to this side. And this one, if I don't get electrocuted here. Hang on this thing. He said, I'll hook this one up this way. That'd be a real illustration right there. I zapped out right here before. He said, I'll hook this one up this way. I'll hook that one up that way. I mean, come on now. It's going to work this time. Come on, baby. Look at it. She says, Tommy, why don't you go get you a real job? We're starting today. He said, I'm going to admit the lot of him, nut. He said, so we've been working down here for weeks and weeks and weeks. Let's see it. He hooks it up. Nothing. That's two.
Amen.
698 more. I bet she was threatening divorce. She would already have mercy. She called the psychiatric ward. She called and brought him over here. I mean, she said, I'm going to have him admitted. He said, I know. I left this one off. Now, this one will be connected to this one this time. And I believe this one will work right here. I felt something. I believe this one will work. And he hooked it up, rewired it, and got it around. Still didn't work. 697 more. Got down to 500s. Got down into 400s. Got down into 300s. Got down into 200s. Got down into 100s. On the 700th time, she wouldn't even come to the stop, top step. Honey, shut up! I've got more to do in my life than look at your stupid experiments. My son, that time, he got and buddy, when he did, the light come on, and there she is tonight. That's proof of Thomas Edison's dedication. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, if that man can try over and over and over and over and over. Somebody said, well, I tried to live right, and it didn't work out for me. Well, get out here and try again. Get out here and try again. Quit using that pretty skin. Ask God to forgive you. Get up and realize failure is not playing with a fire.
Amen.
I'll say three things tonight, and I'll give you a couple of illustrations. Number one, failure is not final and final because of his love. You see, God's love is unconditional.
Yep, that's right.
It's unconditional. I heard a preacher say one time, Mr. Charles, and I like to come unglued. It may not mean as much to you as it did me. I'm telling you what, I about took a shouting spell when I realized it. He said, I can't, listen, he said, I can't do anything to make him love me anymore.
Yep. That's right.
You can't do anything. That'll make him love me any less.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Glory to God! Thank you, Jesus! I can't do nothing that'll make him love me anymore, and I can't do nothing that'll make him love me any less. His love is unconditional. Yeah. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've come from. He loves you the same.
Yes, he does. Amen.
See, some of you is living and you're thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. You're absolutely right. That's why he died for you.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And I'm not just trying to say it, but you're going to misquote me. Listen to the whole tape. I'm just saying his love's unconditional. His love is unconditional. Better check that thing out. I'm going to tell you, he cares about us when we're down. He cares about us. When we're down, come on. He cares about us when we're down, people.
Yeah, he
somebody
does.
Said, well, he said, well, I tell you what. He said, I'm so down. I talked to many a person, and many, many people have told me. They said, Brother Danny, I just blew it. I blew my testimony, and now nobody ain't gonna have no confidence in me. And Brother Danny, I got up in church, and I've run my mouth, and I've said this, and then I went out here and done this stupid thing. Me and my wife got in a fight, and me and my husband were kid. I got up on drugs, or I got drunk, or I done this. Preacher, Brother Danny, I just cannot. I just can't go back. I just can't go back. Let me tell you something. God loves you when you're down. God loves you just as much when you're down as he did when you was up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that father there in the story, he fell on his neck and kissed him just like he had never done nothing wrong. God will not be through with you just because you fell at him.
That's right.
I got something for you tonight, brother. He knew all the mistakes he was going to make when he saved us.
That's right.
And saved us anyway. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, if I'd have known what all I know now, I don't
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Because of his love. Secondly, because of his knowledge. He's all-knowing. He knew already what you was going to do and saved you and called you anyway.
Yeah.
Man jumped on me and said, how can you still preach after what you've done? And I said, Romans 11:29, buddy, read your Bible. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If a man's ever been called to preach, he's still called to preach. And if God's ever put that call on your life, you're still called to preach now. As much as you can trip, you can fall, you can blow it, you can run from it, you can try to get out of it. But Romans 11:29 says, your call and God will never change his mind.
Yep.
That's why if you're called to preach, you'll preach or be out of the will of God. You'll preach if God called you to preach because you're still called to preach. You say, I'm not worthy. All you got to do is confess your sin and then preach again.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said that. You're not worthy. Never have been worthy.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Have you?
No.
Is anybody in here can stand up and say, I've never done nothing wrong, so I'm the only one in here that deserves to preach? Let's hear you. Stand up. Amen. Because of his knowledge. Thirdly, because of his plan. Sometimes God, you know why God recorded them men's failures in the Bible? So many you could relate to them.
That's right.
If David and Peter never cussed and denied the Lord. I mean, there's a bunch of stories I can tell you. I can tell you about Paul. I can tell you about Job getting proud. I can tell you about Daniel letting the heathen king bow down to him. I can tell you about Peter cussing and saying he didn't even know God. He said, boy, I bet God never used him no more.
Yeah, he did.
60 days later, he preached a sermon and 3,000 people got saved.
Yeah.
2 months. Somebody said, if a man cussed and denied the Lord, he ought at least be out of ministry for a year. Boy, you're in your mad area. You sure need to read your Bible, you nut.
That's right.
Now, if anybody said that, tell them I said that is ignorant. Tell them Nanny Castle said that is ignorant. Because God let Peter preach a message 60 days later and 3,000 got saved. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. See, I got the book to back me up. They just got their opinion. And opinions like on and pimps have back up to them the most stand.
Yep.
Amen. You take that to God, brother. Because of his plan. You see, God let them people men in the Bible. He didn't approve their fault. It wasn't God's plan for Moses to kill that man, not even a sin. Was it?
No.
No, it wasn't. God didn't say kill him, Moses. Moses acted in the flesh. He was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But God used that as a dividing point in his life. And God knew it wasn't right. Don't you go out here and say, boy, the way he talked, it's all right. Don't you? You're a nut if you believe that. If there's anybody in here hates sin, it's me. I hate the worst I've ever hated. I hate the devil worse than I've ever hated him. I hate sin worse than I've ever hated it in my life right now. I don't stay away from sin. Boy, I don't want to stay away from sin. Listen, anybody in here can follow me home tonight. You can watch everything I do. You can listen to my phone calls. I ain't got nothing to hide. I ain't ashamed of nothing in my life. Can anybody else say that in here tonight? Well, hush here. Listen. I'm going to tell you what, brother. You hear me? I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But by God's grace, I'm trying to serve him the best of my ability. And God knew all this was going to happen. And he said, thank God, it's not final with the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He can take something bad and make something good come out of it.
Yep.
If you let him.
Yep.
I've got an article here tonight that I'm going to read to you, this little piece of the paper. And it said, a divorced pastor now feels pain he saw in others. This is about Charles Stanley. He's the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, has been for many, many years. I'm not here to put him down or put him up. He's a fine preacher, and you can get a lot of good stuff out of his messages. I've heard him say a lot of good things. I think he loves God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, Charles Stanley, him and his wife, had a major problem. And several years ago, they said that they made the statement that if he ever got divorced, that he would have to, that he would step down in his position from the pastor. Well, it finally come to it. And this is just life. Things like this happen.
And the church has been quiet about it too long. We might as well just face it. Stuff like this happens, people.
That's right.
And if it ain't happened to you, it'll happen to somebody in your family before it's over with. Amen.
Amen.
I heard people say, well, people go to that church. They might say that about us, but there's one thing about it. They can't question our sincerity and our servant of heart that's right with God. We may be a bunch of rejects. We may be a bunch of old throwaways. We may be a bunch of people who've got a bad past, but thank God, God will remember it.
That's right.
Amen. What people can't forget, God can't remember. And he's not an ever-tell failure. He's never filed with the Father. Charles Stanley got divorced. And I hate it for him. I know how it feels. If you love it. If you can't, let me just stop right here for a little commercial. If you're ever around somebody who winds up getting divorced, I'd be real careful what I said about them, guys.
That's right.
Because you have absolutely no idea.
That's right.
What you're talking about.
Yep.
Until you walked in them shoes, until you've been, I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I don't think they're fit. I'll tell you what you better do, buddy.
Keep
you better watch your mouth. Real careful, lest the same thing happen to you one of these days, because what goes around comes around. And the Bible said, if a man thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall. You better be real careful about putting somebody down that's trying to serve God like this man is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. This thing says, Pastor now feels the pain that he saw in others. And he's trying to make the best out of a bad situation. His church voted to keep him. They said, we want you to stay our pastor. And they voted here. Now I'll tell you something else right here. If a local church votes and desires for a man to be their pastor, it is absolutely none of anybody else's.
That's right. That's right.
It's none of the business of the church up the road. It's none of the church right down the road. It's not the denominational headquarters business. It's none of nobody's business. It's none of my business who the church down here has. And his church chose him to be kept as their pastor. And you know what I've got to say about that? Absolutely nothing.
That's right.
Between him, them, and the Lord. Amen. Say
amen. Amen.
I can't believe these Protestant popes. These Baptist popes that think they're preordained of God and go around and tell who can do what and where. You and Blake Hyman jumped all over this thing. It ain't even 3 weeks old. And I'm telling you, the worst is coming. Amen. You might as well brace yourself. Y'all pray and brace yourself. The worst will be coming yet, probably. And I'll tell you, we'll find out how serious y'all are. Amen. We'll find out if you really believe in this thing or not. Ain't no doubt in my mind, brother. I know the devil wouldn't fight if God wasn't in it right there. I know the devil's fighting, isn't it? He hates the light turned on right here in this wicked city. He hates what could happen. He hates. We took them kids out and invited these Spanish people back here this morning. He hates it. He says, no, I'm not going to let this happen. So he'll get in Christians by the dozens to try to stop this thing.
Right. Yep.
Mark it down. That's what he's doing with Brother Stanley. I'll read you a quote here. I didn't mark it. Evangelist Chuck Colson. You heard Charles Colson? He on the radio every day. Nothing personal against the man. He just absolutely has no idea what he's talking about. Nothing personal. I'm not being judgmental. The man's a nut. And this will be on the radio. Amen.
Amen.
He said, Brother Danny, you're going to I'd rather die than not to preach what God laid on my heart. Amen. I'd rather die than not be able to tell the truth when I'm preaching the word of God. You know what he said about Charles Stanley? He said, when they found out that the First Baptist Church applauded the news that Stanley would stay on as the pastor, evangelist Charles Colson said on his radio show, quote, have our churches become so accustomed to moral failure that we applaud it? What he's saying, if this is the test of being a good shepherd, should we also endorse pedophiles as pastor so they can better sympathize with people who commit child abuse? How far do you carry this preposterous argument? That is a preposterous statement. If a man's wife leaves him and divorces him, and he's innocent and has done nothing wrong, and he's turning on, you can't say that that's moral failure.
Right.
Lord have mercy, man. You're a nut. I mean, sometimes people can't help it. Sometimes people, somebody say, well, there ain't no such thing as an innocent party. They most certainly is. The Bible said they are in the Old Testament, and the Bible said in some ways they were and the other would be guiltless. So there is an innocent party in many cases. And in this situation, if Charles Stanley's church condones what he's doing and they want him to be their pastor, he might have failed. I don't know. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he's guilty or not. But I know one thing. If he's living for God and he's right with God, failure is not final with the Father, and God can still bless him now or even more if he'll yield himself to it.
That's exactly. Yeah.
I'm not endorsing sin. I'm just saying it's not final with God. That's a blessing, brother.
Amen.
Value in the pains. Charles Stanley said, I covered painful ground after meeting the 50 Charlotte pastors. He said it would be easier to talk about a rally than to talk about this situation. He said, I learned the hard way. The death of a marriage shouldn't signal the death of a ministry.
That's right.
He's right. He's right. He's right. Nobody likes it. Nobody agrees with it. Nobody in their right mind approves of divorce. Nobody in their right mind thinks, well, that's great. But nobody in the right mind would say it's final with the law. Because it ain't. It ain't. And you better watch out for yourself. That's just people.
Yep.
That's never done nothing wrong. You better watch out. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You know what I found out through the years? Some of the ones that run their mouth the loudest are covering up a whole lot of bigger sin than their own life.
It's true.
Not every time, but a lot of time. I've seen it happen. I give you names and details if I want to. Failure is not final with our Father. Now, somebody sent me, laid from the mountain, sent me this. It got over the internet. And it's a story. And she said, most of y'all know this sister, if I call her name, good Christian lady. She said, I'm glad that I serve a God that don't remember my sins. Jesus took care of that.
Yep.
She said, one night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of God at her heart. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The young woman had a very rough past. Alcohol, prostitution. She lived a wicked life. But the change in her was evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church and eventually, even in the ministry, teaching children. It was not very long till this faithful young woman had caught the eye and the heart of the pastor's son. And the preacher's son fell in love with her. And they began to talk, and one day they talked about getting married. The relationship grew, and they began to make wedding plans. This is when the problems began. You see, about one half of the church did not think that a woman with such a past was suitable for the pastor's son. They said, she's been a prostitute. She's been on drugs. She's going to be our pastor's son's wife. The church began to argue and fight about the matter. So they decided to have a meeting. And they all met together to discuss it. And the people, this is a true story, the people made their arguments. And the tension increased. Some said this, some said that. Some said, a woman like that, I mean, she can be saved. You ever heard that before? She can be saved, but she shouldn't be the pastor's son's wife. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I've heard them tell me lately, it's all right for you to go win souls, Danny. He can win souls. He can win. He can still be saved. But, well, listen here. And the people made their arguments, and the meeting was getting out of control. The young woman became very upset in her feelings about the things brought up about her past. You ever met this crowd that they want to bring up somebody's past, but you can never mention theirs, boy? They don't want to hear nothing about theirs. Say, what about you? Well, we're not talking about me, we're talking about you. Yeah, that's fun, ain't it? I had that done to me this evening. Big time. I'll tell you about it one of these days, maybe. I hope it don't have to. But he's called the Christ, the pastor's son, stood to speak. He could not bear the pain it was causing his fiancée. He began to speak, and his statement was this: my fiancée's past is not what's on trial here. What are you questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus
Yep.
Washed sinners.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, today you put the blood of Jesus on trial.
Yep.
Does it wash sin away or not? That's the question, people. That's it. That's the question. That's the question in a nutshell. Does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse a person or don't?
That's right.
That's what all the fuss is about. That's what all the debate's about. That's what all, I believe you can be forgiven, but wait a minute. Does it wash it away or not?
Yeah,
if it washes away, it ain't there.
That's right.
And if it ain't there, you're as clean as you ever was.
That's right.
If it don't wash it away, then the blood don't wash sins away.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Y'all listen to me? He said, the blood of Jesus is what's on trial here. Does it wash sin away or not? The whole church began to cry. They realize that they have been slandering the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yep.
Too often as Christians, we bring up the past and use it as a weapon against our brothers and sisters. Forgiveness is a very foundational part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the blood of Jesus don't cleanse the other person completely, then it cannot cleanse you completely.
That's right.
If that is the case, then we're all in a lot of trouble.
Yep. We're lost.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood.
Amen.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Amen.
Oh, precious.
Yeah.
Is the blood.
Yep.
That makes me modest. Amen. You can't do enough good stuff to make your sins go away.
No.
He said, I get a lot of money. You see, it's still there. I do good deeds. I'll give money to the church. I'll go out here and knock on doors. That don't take your sins away.
That's right.
Only the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So now I'm telling you, that'll preach. That'll preach.
Yep.
Amen.
I was saying, it's not found with our Father. I'm going to show you something now. Just a minute. And I want you to listen real carefully. Because you're going to hear a testimony and a song of a woman who's been through a lot of problems in her life. And this woman, some of you will remember her as Lulu on Hee Haw many, many years ago. Some of y'all won't remember, but years ago, the old show Hee Haw come on. And Lulu was on there, and she got messed up in sin like most of them people do. And Lulu got saved.
Yeah.
Preacher's going to give us these chairs. He knows her personally. She's going to be at his church in October, I think. Lulu got saved. God done a work in her life. And she said when she got saved, the country, the TV people didn't want her no more because she sung gospel. And the gospel singers and churches didn't want her because she lived so wicked. And so she just kind of just didn't have, she just thought, where do I fit in? And I'm going to let her in just a second sing you this song before I got the title for the message. It's Failure Is Not Final with the Father. What I want to do tonight is I want to help you. I'm looking at some people in here tonight that needs to make a fresh start. I'm looking at some people tonight that, you know, it's a good time. New church, new start. Start all over. Let's get right. Start all over. Some of you've been down so long. That's the reason I never quit. See, when there's a lot of people trying to get me to quit, you know why I didn't? Because I was afraid if I did, I would never get back up.
That's right.
The longer you stay down, the harder it is to get back up.
Yep.
So I just refuse to go down. Because I've seen so many go down and never get up.
That's right. Yep.
I want to see you get up tonight. See, you can't use it for an excuse. I can show you being in the battle done a lot worse than you had. A lot worse than I had. Where there's never final. Where there's repentance, it's not final with the problem. Now if you continue on in sin, you got major problems. God will he'll clean your plow. Amen?
Good.
He'll clean your plow. Don't you ever doubt it. You won't get by with nothing wrong. You'll pay for it the rest of your life in one way or another. But the Father can make you clean
and give you a brand new fresh start. But I'm going to see if I can get this to play, and I'm going to rush, so I hope you'll get the lights, please, Brandon.
I spent pretty close to all of my lifetime up until the time that I gave my Jesus control of my heart. Hopefully I'm getting better making wrong choices.
Listen.
And the one thing that he has taught me is that a father's love never dies.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many times
Listen.
You fail. Failure is never final.
What a lesson, Bruce! What a lesson!
What you used to do when the blood of Jesus gently encircles you, and why do you give in to things that cause such pain? Knowing Jesus can birth new life again. Failure isn't final with the Father.
Heaven.
Failure opens doors to start again.
That's what some of you've done. What's I've done.
And the one
making
thing
wrong choices.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it don't have to stay that way.
It's the Father's love. It never dies.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how many times you fail.
She messed up, man. God didn't hold it against you. Never found.
Yep.
God uses her, man. He can use you.
Yeah, it can.
He can use you.
For what you used to do.
Ain't no telling what God's done here tonight.
Yeah.
If you want a cassette copy of this message to share with your loved ones who hate you for coming to hear me preach, tell them this comes from my heart with love. I'm not trying to be mean. Lord, if we don't stand there, sure ain't gonna stand up for us. We're gonna have to do it ourselves. That you're gonna catch it. You're gonna be slandered. I'm getting ready to be slandered big time. There's people working day and night trying to stop this church from even happening. You know what that ought to do? That ought to just give us that much more determination.
Yep.
That we're gonna go stand there for God. Amen. I hope you will. I hope you don't run scared. I hope you don't chicken out. It's just starting to get good. There ain't never been a church that God blessed without a fight.
That's right.
It's always been that way. It's always been a fight. Somebody asked me one time up there and they said, well, Dan, why does the devil fight our church so much? I said, why wouldn't he even belong to the church?
The devil doesn't fight. That's right.
Would you? You crazy if you go to church and the devil don't fight. And he don't fight a lot of them. He don't even go by to check on them. They're doing just fine. Love what he wants them to do. Somebody said, well, the devil don't ever bother us. God or the devil either one? That's a graveyard. That's why y'all, they don't hang around the graveyard. Some people scared walk through the graveyard. You ain't going to be scared in the graveyard. Dead people ain't going to hurt you. These live Christians, you better watch out for. All right, who wants to say something? Who wants to say something? Let's have a look at testimony.
Reckon we better, Anthony. Let's do that.